Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
Unbelievable. What were we talking about just 3 minutes ago before that song
election
started?
Election ads being on TV looking like, you know, they're telling you about the latest brand in the supermarket.
That's right. It was just one ad, just the one. Mm. The one with Christina Keneally, her four-point plan, and it's not a promise, it'll be law or something like that. Guess what happened in the 3 minutes that that song was playing?
What happened, Aaron?
It came up on television. We got the television on in here, and there it was. The thing was, I'm wondering if I'm excited that that was on, or is it, like, annoying? It's become exciting now. There it is again. It's like a game. It's like a sport. It's not on again.
You could turn it into some sort of a game. Yeah, really, right. Make it a sport. Okay, every time that comes on, I have to do 10 sit-ups.
Oh, no.
You'd get fit.
No, thanks.
You'd get really fit.
No,
you'd get
thank
an eight-pack.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that would be very good exercise.
Mm. Hope 103.2.
Good morning.
It's Valentine's Day today, and we'd like to look at the sort of deeper, more permanent side of things than the flowers, chocolates, token stuff. Doug, you've got some tips for us. After how many years of marriage?
Just coming up, next September, it'll be 45 years.
45, not bad at all. So what's your number one tip?
My number one tip is a give and take, and that's the best things you can do in marriage.
Right.
What's the plan today? What will you do for your wife?
Well, this afternoon we're going up to the church. We're getting ready for the World Day of Prayer.
Oh, great.
We're meeting.
That's romantic. Just joking. That's
but
a good thing to do.
I understand you've been doing something nice this morning already for her.
Yes, I've just picked some red roses out of the garden and put them in a vase for when the wife gets up to have breakfast. She's got them in front of her.
Oh,
how about that?
What a gentleman! Good on you, Doug.
Yes, you can do a lot of things without having a lot of expense involved.
Yeah, that's good. Now, she hasn't spent the last year growing those roses, and she's not going to be really sad you've cut them, is she?
Actually, These roses were growing wild in the garden when we first came here.
Oh, beautiful. Wild roses. For some reason, I love that even more, Doug. Beautiful.
Yes, and they're a lovely red rose.
Well, you champion. Sound like a beautiful husband. Thanks for giving us a call.
Right, thanks very much. And you have a really good Valentine's Day yourself.
Thanks.
Bye.
Good on you, Doug. What a champion.
I'm laughing at that because I'm going to hang out with a friend of mine, an old school friend, who lives in the Blue Mountains now. And so we're going to have dinner and watch Glee together. So I think I'm pretty much having like a spinster's night in for Valentine's Day.
That's all right. Look, we've got some lovely flowers outside here. I might duck out later and get you some. That'd be nice.
Oh, that's lovely. Kind of creepy, actually. Yeah. I get a phone call from Larissa. Where's my husband picking you flowers?
Well, all we have at home is yellow weeds. Those yellow flower weeds. So that's what I'll be...
Kind of works.
Yeah.
Blame it on the kids. The kids picked you these.
That's right. Oh, the kids, I don't know.
Hope 103.2.
Today means something other than just Valentine's Day. This is an important day in Australian history that we need to commemorate as well, because this was the day that decimal currency came in.
Yeah, like this. And a little cartoon in black and white.
Uh-huh.
In come the dollars, in come the cents.
Uh-huh.
To replace the pounds and the shillings and
that's
the
cents. Catchy.
Be prepared, folks, when the coins begin to mix on the 14th of February 1966.
I'll always know
that. Go the shearers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that was just a little happy flashback.
And it's been wonderful ever since, because pounds and shillings, I ain't got any idea how to count that stuff up.
We were probably better at maths when we had them, though, because we had to do more complex sums all the time.
Mm. But that video explored after that, how you can convert from pounds and shillings to dollars and cents, and even the dollar cartoon character seemed to get confused, which is quite funny. True.
Hope 103.2.
Brian Stewart, he's one of our ministry spot presenters here on the station.
Yep.
And he had this great story today on the history of Valentine's Day.
We loved it so much. We had to get him on the phone to hear it again because it's a really interesting story. Brian.
Hello there. How are you going, Helen?
Yeah, well, thank you. Can you tell us a bit about Oh, thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day, Helen.
Yeah. thanks.
What about me, Brian? Hey?
Yes, and you too, Aaron.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm sorry I didn't call earlier, but I've been opening all the cards and dealing with all the flowers that I've received this morning, you see.
Yes.
No, this would be a big day for you, and thanks for fitting us in. Can you tell us a bit about what you've uncovered about Valentine's Day?
Well, apparently there was a day way back in the ancient Roman Empire called Lupercalia, and it was a pagan celebration, a pretty raunchy old affair, apparently, so we don't really need to know too much about it. Eventually, because under the Emperor Claudius, he reckoned that the best soldiers that an army could have were single ones. Mm-hmm. I guess the married ones were a bit hesitant to go up to the front line, but the single ones didn't seem to mind. So Claudius forbade all his soldiers from marrying. However, there was a priest, so the story goes, a Christian priest, and he didn't agree with Claudius, and he was happy to conduct ceremonies, secret ones, so that men could be married and therefore they were exempt from the call-up when it came. However, one day, Valentine, I forgot to say that was his name, conducted one wedding too many, again, so the story goes, and perhaps the person was a plant or something like that, and so he finished up in prison. He was executed on February the 14th, which happened to be Lupercalia Day. And so what actually happened then was that the people honoured this man who died on that day, and instead of being that raunchy old affair, it became a day of romance and expression of love. So there's the story, so they say.
Sweet. All right.
It's a lot nicer than just trying to sell some extra chocolates.
Well, it is, isn't it, really? Yeah, that's got a nice romantic origin. And it was just one of those things that his death coincided with the actual day. So it was seemed a reasonable sort of a thing to do.
There it is.
Now, is it all true?
Yeah, I see.
don't let truth get in the way of a good story, Brian. No,
that's right. It's a lovely day, and it gives us opportunity, gives people opportunity to tell their loved ones that they love them, doesn't it?
Well, I guess that you've just opened yourself up for the question, what are you going to do for Val, your wife, today?
Yeah, well, the fact is I haven't told her I love her today either. I have to confess that it wasn't long before your phone call that I even remembered that it was Valentine's Day.
Great.
Brian Stewart.
Oh, dear, it's bad, isn't it?
You could save yourself by saying she's not actually awake yet, and that's the only reason you haven't told her.
I could say that, but I also know that she's inside listening on the radio to this interview.
Right.
Oh, Brian.
Very, very hard.
I mean, okay, quick, get off the phone.
Yes, I'll just rush out and buy some flowers before she comes out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, ducked out of the service station. That's a winner every time.
Ah, dear, yeah.
Hope 103.2.
Good morning.
You know what? We're not going to ask you about Valentine's Day. Is that good?
Yes, that's just fine, thank you.
All right, I thought,
you know. All right, you know something I don't clearly in this situation. Helen, should we just move straight into the questions?
I reckon we should, yeah.
Done. I should just check, are you free for dinner tonight?
I'm actually going to send a very special friend and her husband, who's been such a blessing to me all year, so I'm going to send them out to dinner if that's okay.
Oh, I hope you win.
That sounds lovely. Okay, you've got to get these right. There might be some serious hints on the way this morning.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, Helen, name the female singer whose latest album is called Speak Now.
Oh, my goodness. Christian singer?
Mainstream artist. Pretty clean cut. Very tall, very young. Bit country.
A bit country. Yep. The girl that sings that princess song.
Yes, yes, yes.
God, I don't know.
Oh, you know who it is. You can see her face.
My pants are too long. I need to see a tailor.
Oh, dear.
Taylor Swift.
Oh. Oh, look at that.
I didn't even realise that linked. Wow.
Okay, Helen, question number two. Vienna is the capital city of which country?
Vienna would be... It's not Italy.
It's not, no.
No.
That's correct. It's not Italy. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. No,
Aaron.
I won't do that.
Vienna.
Yep. I believe locally it's pronounced Veen. And spelled with a W. I don't know if that helps.
Gee, that helps.
Is Vienna the capital of Vienna?
It's not. I don't...
I'm sorry.
There will be other chances to win them this morning, though, Helen.
Lillian is on the phone for question two. Good morning, Lillian.
Good morning.
Hey, Lillian, did you have plans for tonight for Valentine's Day?
Not yet.
Good.
Not yet? Okay, so you could squeeze in a dinner tonight.
That'd be good.
Excellent. Well, let's see if we can give you dinner for two at Concordoro here. We're up to question number two. You've just got to get to the end of question number five to win. Okay. Number two, Vienna is the capital city of which country?
Austria.
It is Austria.
All right.
Very good.
Question three.
What is the longest book in the Bible? Longest one.
Psalm.
Yes, it is.
Oh, good work.
Going well this morning. All right, question number four. Even the British Prime Minister has admitted to a mild addiction to which hugely popular smartphone game app? The hint is there are slingshots and pigs involved.
Angry Bird?
Yes, it is.
Oh, we're on the way.
Plowing through. Okay, this is the one. This is the final question. This can win you the dinner and the CD. Do you burn more energy sleeping or watching TV?
Sleeping.
You do. That's it.
Yes.
You swept through the lot.
Good
Congratulations.
Stuff. Dinner for two. It's a three-course fine dining experience at this restaurant, which Helen is now going to pronounce.
Okay, that would be the Concordoro.
Even I have it spelt out for me in phonics or whatever. I still can't say it. And you also get a CD, which is called...
Bravo l'ultimo. I can't pronounce that very well at all. I just try and say it with an Italian accent and hope for the best.
Good on you. It's in Riverwood. You need to be there at 7 p.m. Good on you, Lillian.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
No worries. Hang on there. Now, we've spoken to the judges, Helen.
Yeah.
We've spoken to the judges, and not just because this lady's name's Helen as well.
Although it does make me a little biased.
Yeah, I guess so. Helen, you're still there?
Yes, I am.
Helen, Good. You were our first contestant. You really wanted to win the dinner for some friends of yours who've been really That's special right. to you?
Yeah, I've had a tough year and they've been last year and they've just been brilliant. They've done anything and everything for me, so I wanted to try and send them out for dinner.
Well, we'd like to help you with that.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
So our consolation prize for you today
McDonald's.
Is...
No.
McDonald's.
We'd love to send your friends for dinner for two at the beautiful Concordoro at Riverwood tonight as well. No worries. That's wonderful that they were there for you in a tough time. Love to hear that.
Oh, absolutely. Have been all year.
Good stuff.
We'll chuck that CD in
fantastic.
As well.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. I'm stoked. That's just fantastic.
Hope 103.2.
Now, we're talking to psychologist Mara Steepers this morning about a couple of different aspects of today and what it's all about. Mara, another side of the story is, of course, singleness and Valentine's Day. Can we break that down a little bit? What does today mean for single people?
As I guess everyone can understand, being single on Valentine's Day, particularly with a lot of the media hype and all the things that come with Valentine's Day nowadays, can be a little bit difficult. By virtue of the spotlight being placed onto romance and couplehood, well, then some of that spotlight bounces off and shines quite brightly on people that are single. But there are a couple of things that, you know, single people can do. I had great time researching this online and hearing about all the creative ways that people have celebrated singlehood around the world.
Oh, nice. What did you come up with?
Look, so there's a couple of things that you can do. To begin with... try not to buy into some of the Valentine's Day hype, and that's going to be something that's really, really important. It gives you an opportunity to meet up with other single friends, family. I read about a whole lot of people who have been celebrating their singleness by throwing singles parties and having singles movie nights and things like that as an alternative to Valentine's Day. Some simple things that you can do yourself, though, are, I guess, things like actually having a think about what you actually like about being single and enjoying and celebrating that on Valentine's Day
mm-hmm.
as a way to kind of manage some of that stuff. But what I think it could be my best advice for people would be to actually, you know, if all else fails and you can't find single friends to spend the day with and stuff like that, be your own Valentine and ask yourself, how would I want to be treated by someone else on Valentine's Day? And then give yourself permission to treat yourself like that. And don't buy into some of that self-talk that's probably going to come with being single on such a day. And we tend to stop ourselves from actually indulging in the things that we like and enjoy. So think about that. Do some enjoyable activities and actually enjoy the day and actually celebrate singleness to its full.
Yeah, look, I think for people in relationships, but also for those that are not in relationships, one of the biggest dangers, I guess, is when you attach self-worth to being in a relationship.
That's right, that's right. And you're right, across the board, whether I'm alone or whether I'm with someone else, You know, I it's really important for people to be able to get to a place where they still mean something to themselves and they still like who they are, regardless, because really that's what's going to lead to kind of enduring, you know, opportunity for happiness and a fulfilled life.
Great.
Great advice. Thank you so much, Maris, for speaking to us today on this.
My pleasure. Have a good Valentine's Day or Single Awareness Day.
Yeah.
That's good.
Singles awareness.
I like that.
Hope 103.2.
From The Biggest Loser, Sarah Jane, we saw some pretty dramatic stuff go on for you last night.
Yes, it was all a bit dramatic and a bit heartbreaking having to leave Camp Biggest Loser.
Yeah, you've had a bit of time now, I guess, since that was filmed to find your feet in the outside world. How's it going?
Yes, I'm doing very well, thank you. Just training hard and sticking to my strict diet, and I'm sure it will pay off.
Great. And do you find yourself yelling, "I'm a warrior," sometimes?
No, I've actually managed to contain that, but I do occasionally start screaming it in my head. I don't think the gym will really appreciate if I'm standing there yelling and screaming in the middle of a training.
Yeah, right. Well, you never know who that'll inspire around you.
Very much, if I can help others.
Nice.
Good stuff. I mean, it was very dramatic last night, and such a to be forced into that situation where you've got to choose between either one or the other to eliminate, that's a really tough thing to do. What a hard situation to be in.
Oh, definitely. Being the first week and being the one to do those votes to send Greg home and then to be on the receiving end the following week, it's definitely harrowing, but unfortunately still at the end of the day it's a game and it has to be done.
Yeah. And what do you take away from a scenario like that?
Pretty much that one does have to go, but just the overall experience of the vote out once you leave is probably one of the last things you think of. It's more just what I've gotten out of the show and what I've learnt and how I can change my life.
I love two things you mentioned, were that you'd found so much more self-love and self-respect along the way. Has that journey been continuing for you?
Definitely. Since I've been out, I've completely changed. My mum just keeps going, she said, you were always happy to start with, but she said you can actually see the inner happiness that you've got now and, yeah, just keep going with it and more and more every day.
What do you reckon the key is to that? How has diet and exercise unlocked that more for you?
I think by the diet and exercise, you're actually starting to love yourself when you look in the mirror, and when you got that inner confidence, it just comes out to everybody else around you.
Mm-hmm.
The diet, which is always spoken about, is so strict and harsh and so different to, I guess, what was before. Give us a tip here. What do you do when you just have a craving you cannot stop for, say, chocolate or a burger or something? What do you do to stick to the diet and stay on track?
Basically, you do still have to let yourself have those little splurges, otherwise you will go insane. Mm-hmm. But if I want something really sweet, it's more I'll have more like a sweeter fruit sort of my berries and everything, and I might mix them up with some yogurt or something and have them as ice blocks, or I've still got a bit of a soft spot for cans of Pepsi Max, so I still get my sweetness that way.
Fair enough. That's
nice, keeping it in balance.
And is it so hard being out of that environment where you've got no choice? And I suppose there's a bit of the theatre aspect of it as well, with all the cameras around and stuff. Is it better to be in the house and pushed into that environment, or are you preferring being on the outside now?
I think either way works for a lot of people, but with myself personally, it's a big shock when you're in there with all the cameras and being forced into it. When I'm having good days, it's great on the outside, I can do it, but the days that I'm lacking the self-motivation to actually get up and do it, I think being in the house is a lot easier when you've got someone else forcing you into it.
Look, it's great to talk to you, Sarah, and I can't wait to see at the end just how well you've done, because I'm sure you have, and just seeing the change in the couple of weeks we saw you on the show, just really inspirational stuff. Keep it up.
Thank you.
No worries. Sarah Jane, the latest evictee from Biggest Loser Families.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.